This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Opening day for the Red Sox. That was Alex Cora yesterday afternoon on this radio station, and it appears that they have worked things out with Rafi Devers.
Mm-hmm. Just an aside, I thought they missed out on that Manti Te'o Netflix special. That would have been a perfect song for the soundtrack.
That's not nice, Curtis.
Sorry. Yeah. Let's talk Sox.
Run it back. Like, I'm sure the fellas want to come up with their own, but I...
No, that one hits.
It's electric.
Yeah.
It is a banger, Curtis. I would, if I were them, I'd run it back this year.
I love it, and yeah. It is... Doesn't it feel like baseball season in that, like, there's people actually interested in the team? It feels like every other time we did it was kind of like tongue-in-cheek talking about the excitement of the baseball season.
We were making fun of it, yeah, right, but now there's actual excitement.
Because you got a legitimate playoff contender.
You like, do. Like, yeah, you should, and we'll talk to Will Middlebrooks in about 15 minutes. He will be doing that game on this game today on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network and on the Odyssey app. But you should win the division. Like,
If you don't win the division, yeah, okay, you still should be a playoff team.
I'm not letting them up on that. Like, my expectation is that you win the division.
Did you see the Yankees tweet that went viral yesterday with all the injuries on the roster?
No.
They had like 17 guys placed on different injured lists, including, you know, Cole, obviously, Giancarlo Stanton. There were like 15 guys on the list. Yet somehow, even yesterday, the Yankees are the favorite to win the American League. And it's probably like Tiger. People just bet on the Yankees, but... I think the Sox are the best team in the division. They should win the division. Yep. I'm with you, Greg, and we need October. Think about this. Steph Diggs back catching touchdown passes from Drake May and the Sox playing in the playoffs. Not bad.
Will he be back by October?
October? And also, Twitch Mitch, who is the man, threw out to me during the break, best day of the year sports-wise. Opening day. March Madness, NBA final couple days here. He was theorizing this is one of the best sports days of the year because it coincides with the Sweet 16 starting.
Oh, that's pretty good. I mean, hard to pick. I mean, Super Bowl is like a day in of itself, but there's nothing else going on. So, Mitch's like his suggestion is because you have opening day, it's spring. You have March Madness.
You have both the NBA and the NHL ongoing, so you have a lot of action, just no NFL.
Could be.
I mean,
I guess you're getting closer to the NHL and NBA playoffs, so that's pretty cool when you hit that day too. So that's
I like Marathon Monday Red Sox Day. Like that I always think is very that feels like summer is here.
Yes, yes. Speaking of Twitch, as Curtis was, you can watch the show on Twitch, and it is presented every day on Twitch by Springer's Jewelers. There are three locations, tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Portland, Maine, and Bath, Maine, that you can visit. And you can learn more when you visit springersjewelers.com. All right, Courtney, rest of the news.
Niche just released a list of the top places to live in America, and two Boston suburbs made the top 50.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So any guesses?
North or North, South Shore, Central Mass. Like, give me a location.
Pretty close to Boston. As close to Boston as you could probably get.
Lawrence.
Haverhill.
No.
Chelsea.
No.
Situate.
Nope.
Canton.
Okay, no.
Sharon.
No. Brookline and Cambridge.
Oh, well, do they know Ken lives there? I mean,
yep. Three other suburbs also made the top 100, but according to the rankings, Brookline was the top-ranked Massachusetts community, ranking in at number 14. It was followed closely by Cambridgeport neighborhood at 22.
Oh, they consider those suburbs?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
I always figured like Brookline, but Cambridge to me.
I figured like suburbs was more like, you know, land and like
like you mean like
a Stowe or you know
Dover.
Boxford. I always considered that suburbs. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I mean, do they know about Cambridge's counselor? I mean, that might take them down the road.
Have they not seen that housing prices in those neighborhoods?
Yeah, well, they're high. We have an airline incident of the day.
Oh, excellent.
Flight 209, are you clear to take off?
And now, the latest plane incident.
No, but this guy doing the flying has no airline experience at all. He's a menace to himself and everything else in the air.
Of the day.
By the way, is there anyone on board who knows how to fly a plane?
On the Greg Hill Show.
A 33-year-old passenger was arrested on a Swiss Airlines flight from Zurich to Dresden, Germany, on Monday morning.
Let me tell you, Swiss Air, the best airline on planet Earth.
Really?
Wow. Some people say now it's Emirates.
Oh, I only fly to countries where women have equal rights.
They give you the whole pod, like your whole like champagne pod.
Yeah, and you get to shower.
Yeah,
you can shower up there.
You can?
And on Emirates,
Really?
I mean, I think Bermuda Air is the best I've ever done.
Oh, by the way, we are back to Bermuda for this year's Greg Hill Classic Golf Tournament to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation.
Yes.
And yesterday we launched a raffle. So if you want to win yourself a foursome, and you want to take a few shots at that, just go to thegreghillfoundation.org.
It's on our Instagrams as well.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And we'd love to have you there. Me, Wiggy, Courtney, off to Bermuda. We'll do the show for a few days. We'll keep the Swizzle Inn open late.
Yes.
And can't wait. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
What did the guy do?
So he was touching himself mid-flight in front of other passengers. So a fellow passenger notified the cabin crew that the guy had his hands in his pants. He asked for her seat to be moved. This was around 7:40 a.m., poor woman, roughly halfway through the 73-minute flight. Crew members, they issued a warning to the guy, but it reportedly took repeated requests before he stopped the act. Police took him off the plane and when they landed, and he admitted to what he was doing, but he thought that there was no issue with it because he wasn't exposing his penis.
It's not illegal. It's frowned upon, like masturbating on an airplane.
Right.
So he was just like rubbing his own pants?
It was in his pants, but he didn't take the pants off, and he didn't take the penis out of the pants.
Okay. So it was...
They said, no, that's still bad.
OTP SJ, as in self. That doesn't seem like... that's still the same thing.
Correct.
He was arrested.
Yes, he was arrested.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's another TikTok hack in the news. This time, it's how to steal breakfast from a hotel when you aren't a guest.
Wait a second. So TikTok is still a thing.
Yeah.
Well, especially with you and Sean.
Yes.
And the latest advice is how to rob breakfast from a business.
Yeah. Again, okay. Not on my algorithm.
Okay.
But
Hey, quickly, Courtney, Greg, is there any scene that is more disgusting than the people who get the hotels that have breakfast included? You would think they were about to storm the beaches of Normandy. It's like they have to eat everything that is set out in front of them because they're going to get their money's worth.
Yeah.
Their arteries be damned.
We can hear the audio from this TikTok.
Okay.
Here are some tips on how to get your breakfast. It's key to research beforehand. Know the layout of the first floor of the hotel that you're going into and go to the elevators first. Look like you belong there, but also look like you don't need to be there. Like it's an inconvenience for you to be there. Just look so busy, be on the phone. The clipboard goes a long way. I'm already planning where I'm going for breakfast next week. Please grab stuff, not for yourself. The pre-wrapped bagels and fruit, people always eat food.
So basically, she's saying pretend that you're staying at the hotel.
Correct.
And then stroll in there and steal breakfast.
Right. Yep.
Great.
Go get bagel and toasted with cream cheese.
Mm-hmm. And we're getting more information on Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez's upcoming nuptials.
Oh, when are those?
Well, they're after May.
Okay.
But they're sometime this summer. So people are calling it the wedding of the century. Mm-hmm. They're reportedly using Bezos's $500 million super yacht as a taxi for guests to get from point A to point B for the entire week. The guest list includes President Trump, Oprah Winfrey, Leonardo DiCaprio, Kim Kardashian, and Bill Gates. Local media have been reporting that the wedding may take place at Gritti Palace in Venice. It's a 7-star Aman hotel where rooms start at $3,200 a night.
A night?
All the way up to $32,000 for suites. And as a pre-wedding gift, Sanchez will fly up to space in Bezos's rocket in May. So the new Shepard spaceship will fly up for the 11-minute flight with an all-female crew. That includes Katy Perry. She'll be on board of that. And her dress is reportedly from Oscar de la Renta, and Anna Wintour will be dressing her for the week.
Okay.
Wow.
So it's just, if you want a suite, it's just a mere $32,000 a night.
I mean,
what kind of gift do you get Bezos? Bezos?
Yeah.
I don't, like, he's got everything.
I know. Yeah. I don't think you get gifts. Like, or I'm sure maybe Bezos is like, in lieu of gifts, please donate to X. Yeah.
Just the fact that you show up, maybe that's the gift for Bezos.
I would say so. Yeah. I mean, if you're going on that. Honestly, a guy like that with that much money, he should pay for everybody to go to his wedding.
Well, there was a wedding last summer. I think it was last summer of a girl who the family paid for all of the all of those attending on private jets out of Texas and Florida, I believe, and maybe New York. So people just had to get there and then private planes to Paris.
Yeah. Bezos, like, I got everything. Don't worry about
it. He should.
Yeah, I bet he's doing that.
All right, Courtney, is that it?
That's it for
the
news.
Great job on the news. Thank you.
We're
about to be joined by Will Middlebrooks, and we'll talk Red Sox on opening day.
What if you brought him a Texas Roadhouse $50 gift card?
Like you re-gifted something.
Right,
from
like, that's a Visa. That's $100.
Right. Jeff, I got you this toaster. Beautiful.
It's Breville.
All right, let's get to Courtney and what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Health Connector for Business. The Celtics win easy against the Suns, 132-102, the final in Arizona. No Jason Tatum. Kristaps Porzingis led the way with 30 points. Not the same energy for your Bruins, who dropped their 7th straight game, this time to the Ducks. Final score 6-2 in Anaheim. And it's opening day. The Red Sox are in Texas to take on the Rangers. It's the former Sox ace versus the new, as Garrett Crochet will take the mound for the Sox, while Nathan Eovaldi will take it for the Rangers. First pitch at 4:05. You can listen to the game right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Will and Will are on the call, and like Greg said, Will Middlebrooks will join us coming up. It kicks off with Christian Arcand today on the MassMutual pregame show at 3:05. March Madness resumes today. BYU is taking on Alabama to kick things off at 7:09. Then Florida faces off with Maryland. Duke has Arizona, and Texas Tech has Arkansas. In the NCAA hockey tournament, that kicks off today. Half of the 16 teams in it are from New England. 2 p.m. we'll see BU and Ohio State. 5 p.m. Western Michigan and Minnesota State face off. Michigan State and Cornell take the ice at 5:30, and Minnesota and UMass end the day at 8:30. And that was brought to you by the Health Connector for Business. Companies interested in an employee health plan can go to Mass I'm sorry, mahealthconnector.org/business and filter right to premium value plans. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. Greg, where do you stand on people that take breakfast to go from the all-you-can-eat breakfast spreads? Is that a douche move or is that okay?
I mean, I guess they paid, if they paid for it as a part of their... I prefer sitting down and having a real experience.
Oh, I love breakfast. It. Americana. It just is a wonderful thing to do. 35 degrees, sunny. It's opening day. It has to be sunny. Afternoon high of 47.
Sean, is that you kissing butt again with Will Middlebrook's walk-up song?
I believe so, yeah. Gave it a quick Google, and this is what popped up, so I hope I'm not wrong.
Brilliant strategy, Sean. I love it. It is opening day. First pitch, 4:05 today on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network and on the Odyssey app. And on the call today, Will Fleming and our next guest, Will Middlebrooks. Hey, Will.
Hey, what's up, guys? I really wasn't expecting to be hitting the air guitar this early, but I appreciate it. Good play on the Stevie Ray Vaughan. I love it.
What was there a reason why you decided you wanted to walk up to that back in the day?
So I grew up listening to that music with my dad. That was his favorite song, Texas Flood. So it was for my dad.
Oh,
yep.
Awesome. That's nice.
Awesome. And it is early there, so we thank you for getting up this morning. Mm-hmm. How is the chemistry, by the way, coming along between you and Will? Have you guys been working on it?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we obviously haven't done outside of spring training games together, but we've had a good relationship. Obviously, we got to know each other really well last year, so we're fired up. I know this is obviously, you know, changing the guard a little bit with Joe retiring and taking a step away. So I know Flynn is really excited to get going. I think the two-wheel thing is weird for people, so we're going to go with Brooksy for me. I think that's a little easier.
All right, okay. I like that. So Will and Brooksy on the call.
There you go.
Brooksy, so let me ask you this. As a guy who's played in the major leagues, what is, like, the thing that's easiest to get into first? Is it the pitching or is it the hitters? Like, who adjusts earlier, the pitchers or the hitters?
Well, I mean, once you get to spring training, I mean, the pitchers are always ahead of the hitters just because pitchers can throw bullpens. It's not really a timing thing for them to – they don't have anything to really combat other than throwing strikes, right, and building up their arm. So I think that kind of bleeds into the regular season. Once you get probably 2 weeks in, I think everything's pretty even. But the way that they're managing players now in spring training, they're not really babying the starters in anymore. Like, these guys are playing 6 innings from the beginning of spring. It used to be like, all right, go get your 2 at-bats and take it to the golf course or the beach, whatever, go hang out. But they've kind of found out on the strength and conditioning side to, like, get these guys in there, get them going, get them into a routine. So hopefully, you know, with these guys having 40, 50 at-bats under their belt, they're up to speed and they're ready to go.
Alex Cora on this station yesterday afternoon seemed to suggest that Rafi Devers is on board with DHing. Is that something that you think could come up again during the season, or do you feel like he has accepted what's going on there?
No, I don't think so. You know, and just being around the team and being in the clubhouse and watching him, because that's something, obviously, as an ex-player, I want to watch his interaction with not only Alex Bregman, but other players, because especially the young guys. Because if you have a veteran that's not happy about a situation, a lot of times they just kind of keep to themselves, which Rafi has not done at all. Not once. He's been himself. He's been smiling. He's been happy. He's been getting his work in. And I don't think it's going to be an issue at all. And I think a lot of that falls on the shoulders of Alex Cora and his relationship with Rafael Devers. And I think winning is number one, and it's got to be number one, and it'll continue to be that way.
Will, as a former third baseman, was this the only decision for Alex Cora? Like, was this the correct decision in putting Bregman at third base? And we've gone back and forth about it. Wiggy's been on this from the beginning. Do you think that for Rafi, DH is almost a demotion? Do guys not like DHing?
For Rafi, I think it helps him stay engaged in the game. And I feel when I went through my career and I would have DH days, it felt like a mental day off just because third base, you're getting missiles hit at you, you know? So it's like, it was good for me mentally to have it, but I was never a full-time DH. But back to the decision, as far as what, of course, this was, I don't want to say an easy decision, but if you're looking at, like, who's the better defensive player, it's obviously Alex Bregman. But you do have to manage the human beings, too. And I think that's something that Alex does really well, is managing the personalities in the locker room. And that obviously took a little time to get Raffy to come around to the idea of not playing third base. And, look, it's Raffy had really improved at third base. He's put a lot of work in with Alex and the infield crew here. And it wasn't the errors that were the issue. Like, he made 12 errors last year. Bregman made 10. It wasn't the errors. It's the balls that Raffy couldn't get to. And if you start looking at the defensive metrics, balls right at him and balls to his right, so towards the third baseline, he was actually in the plus numbers. But to his left, towards shortstop, it was like a negative 12, right? And those are the numbers where you look at his overall metrics and you're like, wow, this guy stinks. It's not that he's booting balls. The balls he gets to, he's actually pretty good. But he just, the lack of range is what killed him metrically.
Will, you were on the last to first team 2013 that won the World Series after the disastrous Bobby V year. When that year did you know the team was a little bit different, and what have you witnessed with this team with the addition of Bregman and the addition of Crochet as you watch them begin their season?
Yeah, so as soon as Johnny Gomes and Mike Napoli and all these guys walked through the door, Shane Victorino, I mean, the list goes on and on. We had a super veteran team. You combine those personalities with Pedroia, Ellsbury, Poppy, Lester, all those. It was just like the perfect storm. So honestly, from day one, I was like, okay, I know it's only my second year in the big leagues, but I've been on a lot of baseball teams in my life. This is different. And I think that whole thing changed when Alex Bregman walked in the door this year, because he's that guy. And we talk about the influence that Bregman has on the younger players, and Marcelo Meyer, Christian Campbell, who obviously made the team, Roman Anthony, spending all this time with the young players and molding these guys, which is very important to creating a winning culture. And I like that he's doing that too, because that means, look, he realizes these guys are going to be a part of the team in the coming years, and he has some opt-outs in his contract, obviously. So it's like, all right, if he's really cares about these young guys, maybe he really does want to stay here. But what he does for the middle area players, or even the veteran players like the Trevor Stories and the Ref Snyders, it takes pressure off of other guys to be leaders too. So it's when you can spread that around the room, and all of a sudden there's a room full of adults now and not just a bunch of young guys with, you know, 2 or 3 years in the big leagues trying to run a clubhouse, it completely changes the tone. And Bregman is a winner. And that goes back to, I mean, his first full season in the big leagues, who was his bench coach? Alex Cora. So Alex has really molded this guy into just a baseball lifer, and that is really contagious when you're under the same roof with a guy like that.
Well, you brought up Garrett Crochet. He obviously was looking to get a new deal done by the start of the season. They're not there. If you were in the front office for the Red Sox, would you give this guy a new deal, knowing that if he goes out there and he has the season what they expect, that price tag can go through the roof?
Yeah, so this is a tough one. That's a great question. It's. I think if I'm in the front office, I think if I offer him like a five-year 125, if I'm Crochet, I take that. But also in the same breath, he's 25. He wants to bet on himself, and that price could go way up if he go out and he's a top two or three in Cy Young voting or wins a Cy Young, which he has the stuff to be that guy. That you take that risk if you don't get a deal done of that price skyrocketing. But that's a good problem to have when he's wearing your jersey. So the issue there lies is health, right? He has this big history of arm issues with, and that comes along with throwing 100 miles an hour. He's only been a starter for really one full season. So I can understand Breslow kind of holding back on that. It's one of those things where you can see both sides. Like, yeah, extend the guy, he's a stud. Or, okay, let's wait and see because his arm could fall off. So I like trying to offer him a deal. Like I said, like I think five, like 120, 125 is a very good deal for both sides. But you probably have a player that knows how good he is, and he's going to bet on himself.
So you think, because you said earlier, if you were him, you would take that.
I would.
Because he's making three.
I have 43 career homers, bud.
Not Will Middlebrooks.
I know.
If you're Garrett Crochet, you would take it.
Yeah, I think so, just because, I mean, it's not like, at the end of that deal, you're 30, and you probably still can get another 4 to 5, maybe 6-year contract after that if you've proven to be healthy. But let's say he blows out halfway through the season this year. It's like, all right, what does the contract look like after you come back from a second arm surgery? So that's when, if I'm him, I'm laying in bed at night staring at the ceiling, going, man, should I? And this is assuming, I don't know if he has an offer or not. I feel like we would have an idea at some point in this world that the news would get out and we would know that there was an offer. But if there was an offer there, that'd be a really tough one if you're Garrett Crochet.
Will, going back to talking about Bregman and his relationship with Alex Cora, when we talked to Cora at spring training, he made the point to say, with the cheating allegations and everything around that, the player that emerged in Alex Bregman is a different guy than before. Is that what the leadership comes down to, that he's learned so much in his career that he's able to bring guys along with him and lead them down the right path?
Yeah, and it's just part of, I mean, there's a human aspect to this as well, right? Like, he's 30 years old. He's not a kid anymore. He's been around the game for a long time. And I just think there's a maturity that comes just as a man and as a human being that obviously bleeds into your baseball career and how you are as a teammate. But, yeah, he's been through it, right? He's also won every year, which is great. So there's that on top of it. But I think when you go through something like that, you really appreciate the people around you. You learn how to build relationships a lot better, because there for a few years, the people in his clubhouse were the only people he had on his side. You think about every stadium he went to, he was getting booed nonstop. And I get it, right? Everybody around baseball understands it. So I think that could have helped him, yes, maturity-wise, but also just building relationships. And we've seen that from day one with everyone in the clubhouse with Bregman.
Well, when you see some of these acquisitions that the Red Sox made this offseason, I know Greg's expectation is win the divisions. Curtis has them at being in the World Series or maybe even winning the World Series. What's the expectations for you when you look at this team based on what they were able to do this offseason?
Well, I'll start with saying I couldn't imagine a world at the end of last year where you don't have Bayo, Giolito, or Crawford, and no one's really even talking about it. Right? Like, we're going into the season and there's three guys that could be big contributors in this rotation not on the roster, and no one's talking about it at all because of this depth they've built. And I think if there's a common denominator with all winning teams, it's pitching depth, starting pitching depth, because you don't roast your bullpen by July and then you're just running on fumes and limping to the finish line. So to answer your question, with the added depth, not only in starting pitching, but in the middle relief and in the bullpen, I think the AL is wide open. I think it's a realistic expectation to want this team and think this team can win the division, especially with the Yankees. Yeah, they added Fried, but they lost Soto. They also lost Gerrit Cole. Louis Hill is going to be out for a while. I don't know if Baltimore's young. They're exciting. There's a lot of high ceiling players, but they haven't really tapped into it yet. They also lost Corbin Burns. And then it's a really tough division, but I think the Boston Red Sox have a really good team to win in the low 90s.
Will Middlebrooks is our guest on the call today and a bunch this season on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Did Tristan Casas have to sign off on you being in the booth?
Not that I'm aware of, but we'll see. With that guy, you never know. You just never know.
Did you play with anybody who was like that?
No, mentally,
I don't know how to describe it.
Aloof
personality,
that type of character.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's so fun though, because for one, he's like a closet baseball. I don't want to say closet genius, but like when you ask him a post game question. And he starts rattling off every thought he had over the last 3 hours. it's really interesting. But at the same time, you're like, I don't know if I ever want to be inside this guy's head ever.
Well, when you look at some of these prospects, and I know the season hasn't even started, but I think it's, you know, one of the questions that maybe you could ask going through the season. Is there a chance in that maybe the Blue Jays with Toronto, that there's an opportunity for you come trade deadline team to make your team even that much better, that the Sox use some of these prospects and potentially go after a guy like Vlad Guerrero?
I mean, that's what prospect capital it gives you the opportunity to do. I think so. Vlad's also going to come. Do you want to give up? Now, I think they're getting more and more attached to these prospects after the spring training that we saw from these guys, especially from Roman and Marcelo. So it's going to be tougher because you know you also have to bring in Vladdy, and it's going to cost you $600 million. So there's that attached to it as well. But you also have guys out there like Sandy Alcantara from Miami that everybody's had their eye on, who's coming back from surgery, and he could have Cy Young type stuff. So there's multiple guys. So to your question, yes, you have this prospect capital. Are you going to hit on all the prospects? Probably not. It's really hard to do that. But I think we have three here that are legit big league impact players. And you start looking at our roster, it's starting to get a little full in certain areas, especially the outfield. I'm infield now too, with Christian Campbell making the team. So there's a lot of hard decisions that are going to be made over the next year, I guess we could say. I have no idea which way this team wants to go with that, because I really like these prospects and I don't want them to go anywhere.
Well, just random question for me. Did you ever in your wildest imagination think when you won the World Series in 2013 that you were playing with the Lobsterman as your manager?
No, I did not, man. I did not. And that was, you know, that was such a fun year, because I remember, like, within the first 2 weeks of the season, Johnny Gomes, and in the old clubhouse, the manager's office used to be in our clubhouse. It wasn't down the hall like Alex Cora's is now. It was literally like his door was open. We could see in there from our locker. And I remember Johnny Gomes calling John Farrell in, and he walks in there, and Johnny Gomes goes, "Hey, man, stay out of the way. We got this." And from that point, like, Farrell just he never really came in the clubhouse. It was run by the veterans. John Farrell made the pitching changes and the lineup cards, and he let the veterans run. But that's the best teams. The best teams always have clubhouses full of guys who take the manager out of the equation. Now, this is different with Alex Cora, just because he almost feels like he's still a player, the way he interacts with these guys, that's what kind of makes him fun to play for. But old school managers like the John Farrells and guys like that, we got him to just stay out of the way. And maybe that pushed him to be a fisherman. Who knows?
Also, arguably no one in the history of this city has celebrated a title more professionally than Mike Napoli. I mean, that was like a full week and a half long bender from Mike Napoli.
A week and a half. That was like a month.
But my favorite, by the way,
and he had a shirt on for maybe 25 minutes total.
My favorite moment of that whole run was when you guys won it and Rosenthal ratted out Gomes by saying he was just asked to ask him why he won this team, and he said, "It's not about your war, it's who you go to war with." And I was like, oh my
god. Such a good line. Johnny Gomes is full. It doesn't matter where he is in his day or his life, he can always give you a one-liner. Always. And it's one you're always going to remember. He's that good.
All right. Well, it's exciting. It's opening day for Scheim and the rest of the wagerers. Where are you on the 86.5 wins? Over or under that?
I'm over that. And that's not just because I like the team. I'm around the team. I legit think this team can win 90-plus games.
All right. Well, we will be listening this afternoon, 4:05, and all season long. And thanks for getting up early and doing this morning. We'll talk to you again this season, I am sure.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. That is Will Middlebrooks on the call this afternoon on the Odyssey app and on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Well, good news for Dave Grohl from that band. Seems like Mrs. Grohl is giving him a second chance.
Oh, please.
What do you mean, oh, please?
I mean,
that's love.
That's not love.
That's forgiveness.
That's net worth.
Well, it's
$330 million, to be exact, is his net worth.
I mean, she could take half of it.
I'm sure there's a prenup.
Yeah. I mean, Dave Grohl had a child.
Yep.
With another woman while married, and that news came to light recently, and I think he moved out probably and got his own little shack somewhere. And now the news today is that she has forgiven the mistake.
And you know
she gave him a second chance.
More power to them if you're able to forgive. But he made her look like an idiot. Like that's the thing is like if you have an open relationship, great. That's amazing that you guys are on the same page with that. And maybe they did. But I'm sure their understanding was you can go do whatever you want, but don't make me look stupid. To get someone else pregnant at that age, you know how to not get someone pregnant.
Right. But she I guess maybe it seems like Greg is right that they were able to get through it. And she took people. It happens every day. Guys go out or girls go out and they do reckless things with others and their spouse takes them back.
That's how you love forever.
Yeah, I mean, it happens all the time. Plenty of people will tell you
this.
That's
not how you love forever.
Oh, it's part of the story.
I'm sure.
That. Like if Santos stumbled, I mean, you might give him a second chance. You might not.
Only guys describe it as a stumble.
Yeah, that's insane.
I mean, you know.
Like,
if you stumbled, maybe he'd give you a second chance.
How old is David Grohl?
Probably 40,
50. 50? Yeah,
okay,
50, yeah.
So you're 50 years old. Mm-hmm. You know how to use a condom.
56. Oh, my God. It's almost Craig's age.
Like, you know how to not get someone pregnant. And the fact that you're out there willy-nilly.
Yeah.
With your thing-a-lang? Like, that's gross. It's disgusting.
Well, it's the temptation. That's not his fault. I mean, the man's a rock star. They're crying out.
No, I think it's his fault.
It is his fault.
Let me tell you, there's going to be no ding-a-lings hanging out at 4 o'clock today because we're going to be watching baseball. Yeah.
They're all in cups. Yeah.
Speaking of opening day, as Curtis was, we are about to get to the first front office report of this baseball season with Sam Kennedy coming up in about 10 minutes. This is Chad from Chelsea. Hello, Chad.
Greg, how you doing this morning?
What's up?
I'll tell you, you're consistent when you interview ex-plays and stuff. I at least have to say that about
you. You tell me about
after
it, Chad.
We get
go
over,
ahead.
Greg, after we get over all the fanboy stuff when you interview ex-players and stuff, have you watched the Red Sox the last 3 to 4 years consistently?
Yes. Yeah. What is Will Middlebrooks? So Did Will Middlebrooks put the team together?
Greg, I'm waiting.
Go ahead.
Instead of being a cheerleader, Greg.
A cheerleader for the Red Sox?
How about asking him about the double play combination? Looks like Jeremy Swayman over the last 3 to 4 years. You can't win games when you can't turn a double play to catch the baseball. So it doesn't matter who's pitching for you. Their defense has been horrible the last 3 to 4 years.
So what was your question, Chad? How would you ask that? Would you ask that question for Will so I can write this down?
Well, here's how I would ask it. Will, how do you expect this team to win 90-plus games when you can't turn a double play for the last 3 to 4 years?
I'll tell you, they now have a much better defense with Alex Bregman playing third base.
Yeah, that's I'm talking about.
And Trevor Story being healthy.
Combo, Curtis.
Playing shortstop.
Curtis, I'm talking about the double play
combination. Nobody gives a damn on opening day about the double play combination. God in heaven, shoot me in the head.
They had.
What was that?
Shoot me in the head.
Chad, we went through a season with a dude playing shortstop who had never played it before but had always dreamed of it. I think the outcome is going to be better this year.
Why do you say?
I'm asking you nicely. Why is it going to be better?
I just told you why. I think
Who's playing second base, Greg?
Christian Campbell.
Okay, so who's okay, Trevor Story can't stay healthy.
But
their defense stinks. Okay. You can't win in any sport. You can't win in any sport if your defense is horrible. None. You can't win.
But just back to your original suggestion, which is that we really should have grinded Will Middlebrooks about the performance.
No, Greg, you're the same with every interview, you're more interested in talking about going down the North End and eating and hanging out.
Chad.
Their team has sunk the last 4 years, Greg. And they're going to win 90 games this year.
Everybody knows that. We've talked about it 1 billion times about how they stink.
So when Middlebrook says they're going to win 90 plus games this year, you can't test them on that?
Well, Chad, didn't they win 81 last year?
No, because I think they're going to win over 86.5. Why would I test them on
it? Really?
I agree.
You do agree with that defense. Okay,
oh
all right.
God.
All right.
Okay. I would just ask this, Chad, okay. Or, you know.
He got you with that second base name, though. He did. He got you there.
I'm with Chad. Nothing more important than the 6-4-3. Nothing more important than the 6-4-3 double play.
I am so fascinated.
So he's got a point there.
I'm so fascinated by the mindset, Greg, where it's like every interview Greg's ever conducted was bad, yet here you are sitting listening to another Greg Hill interview. I don't understand it. And the people that are angry about the Red Sox, even in bad seasons, I remember as a kid, they brought in Scott Fletcher and Andre Dawson.
Ooh, Andre Dawson, the Hawk.
And I was excited because who knew? It's opening day.
The Hawk.
Well, my thing too.
We need a Hill note. We need Kaká guy.
Where is Kaká out there? The Hawk. Andre Dawson.
God,
we all agreed too that they got better, and they won 81 games last year. So why would it be crazy to suggest that maybe they got 9 games better? It's not like we're saying they're going to win over 100.
Imagine thinking this show has been too positive about the Red Sox.
It's an odd take. I mean, I'm here for it, but it's just
he was fired up though.
The 6-4-3. That is an
impressive. Bregman isn't a middle part of the middle infield. He doesn't control the double play combo.
He doesn't really, unless
5-4-3. I think is a double play. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, yeah, you could definitely do that.
And I was excited.
I mean, the team, just to clarify what Chad is saying.
Mm-hmm.
The team adds Alex Bregman at third base.
Right.
Gold Glove winner. Am I correct about that?
You're correct about that.
And they don't get better. That's just what
they got better. But remember, it's the 6-4-3.
Yeah,
and in baseball statistics, the analytics will tell you that there are way more 6-4-3s than there are 5-4-3s. Right. So I guess that's what he's saying.
We will get to check in with Sam Kennedy on Chad and all of these things coming up next on opening day for the Boston Red Sox.